Well, I leave it off before the verse, strangely enough, because we need to hear the story, and I want to share it with you and how this applies to us, because we can be like Saul. We can be so confident that we're doing what God said, and yet God is saying, not quite. You see, what's happened is Amalek has been unkind to the Israelites. When they came up out of Egypt in the Exodus, they didn't help the Israelites. The Kenites, who we find in this story, did. And God is upset with Amalek. God wants to take care of the Amalekites because they were not kind to His people, His chosen. And so when He sets up Saul as king, the provision of Saul's kingship is to wipe out completely all that the Amalekites are and all that they own, to destroy every last bit of it. And Saul says, I'll do it. He goes down to where Amalek is, one of the towns, and tells the Kenites, you need to leave this area because we're going to wipe out the Amalekites today. 200,000 plus 10,000, 210,000 men go up to destroy the Amalekites. That's a large army, folks, even by today's standards. That's a big army. You don't just do that and organize that in a moment. So Saul has, indeed, a good following of people. A lot of people are going to attack. A lot of young men and soldiers fighting. So the Kenites leave. And he lets them leave. And Saul comes and smites the Amalekites all over the place. Kills every last one of them except for the king. And destroys everything except for the choicest sheep, oxen, and the fatlings, and the lambs. But everything else he destroyed. And so Samuel, after hearing that the king has not performed what God told him to do, he goes and sees him. And he goes to Saul and he says nothing at all. But Saul says, blessed be you, O prophet Samuel, one who anointed me king, and blessed be our God. I have performed the commandment. And if we choose and obey the command, God will provide us life, blessing, protection, and increase, prosperity. He'll do all those things. And Saul hears from God, kill it all. Wipe it all out. Don't bring anything back. And Saul comes back with the king and some sheep and some cattle and some other spoil. And he says to Saul, Saul says to Samuel, that one simple phrase that condemns him. He said, I've done what the Lord told me to do. And Samuel says my verse. What is this bleating of sheep I hear in my ear? And Saul says, those sheep are from the Amalekites. And we brought them to sacrifice them to God. We're bringing them into this holy land, the unholy sheep, into this holy land to sacrifice to a holy God. That's what we're going to do. Aren't you proud of me? I remember, I don't know if I should tell this story or not. I was in first grade. Don't tell my mother, all right? She doesn't know this. She's never heard this. First grade. One of the kids at school gave me a Hershey bar. My mother told me, don't you ever, ever take candy from strangers. Not even if it's a friend. Never. If I want you to have candy, I'll give it to you. So I came home with a candy bar, chomping on this thing, and she says, where'd you get it? And I said, well, if I tell her where I got it, I'm in trouble, and I better hurry up and eat the rest of the candy bar before I answer. And as I'm chomping on it, I said, I found this candy bar. It was in the alley. Someone left it there. And I found it first. And I'm eating it. And she says, if you found it in the alley, it's probably dirty. You shouldn't eat it. And I said, I don't think it's dirty, Mom. I checked it real good. Now I have to lie really a bunch. I'm sounding really, really stupid. She doesn't remember this, so don't even mention it to her. Finally, she says, well, if you found that in the alley and you checked it, I said, oh yes, Mom, it was still in the wrappers. Matter of fact, it was just dropped there. I think it was newly placed there because it wasn't there this morning when I went. Yeah, I went that way this morning and it wasn't there. Well, I knew that it wasn't there that morning because it wasn't there that afternoon. So I thought, well, at least that wasn't a bad lie. How could I, in first grade, know how to lie about what Mom said? I did. I remember this story because it was the first lie I ever told. And the second, and the third, and fourth, and fifth, I think. I don't know how many I told before she finally said, well, it better not spoil your supper. I said, it won't, Mom. I think it was my supper. It was good. I still like Hershey bars. What my mother should have said is, what manner is the bleating of sheep I hear in my ear when you're eating a candy bar that doesn't have any grass stains on it? And the wrapper doesn't look soiled. You know, as soon as I told the lie, it sounded really bad. But Saul says, you know, and you can read it there. He says, well, looky here. All my people, they brought with them from the Amalekites, the people. The people did this. I'm the king, but they're going to do what they want. Spared the best of the sheep and the oxen, the sacrifice of the God, and the rest. And the rest. We have fully done what God said. Officer, I was going 55. The other 15 miles an hour was just extra. But I was going 55. Well, it wasn't that much over, officer. And we say more, and we sound dumber and dumber. And pretty soon he says, let me see your license and registration. But officer, there might have been an emergency. I could have been going to one. What was it? I don't have one, but there could have been. And all of a sudden, we've dug a hole, and the officer says, I'll be back in a moment with your ticket. But wait. And Saul had said that, and Samuel says, let me tell you what God told me about you, about your character. He said, tell me. And Samuel said, when you were very small in stature in this kingdom, were you not made the head of all of Israel, and the Lord had anointed you king over all of Israel? And he sent you on a journey, and he said, destroy utterly the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them till they're consumed. Did you not then obey the voice of the Lord, but you flew upon the spoil, the leftovers, if you will, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said, I'm the king. Listen to what he says. He says, yes, I have obeyed the word of the Lord. I have utterly destroyed them. And I went the way the Lord sent me. And not only that, I brought back the king of Agag with me. The worst of them. But I utterly destroyed the rest of the Amalekites. He's going back to that thing again. See his justification for sin. I did everything else you told me, God, but not this. God, I was faithful, but in one small area, I fell short. But since I was faithful in the rest, this is good enough. God didn't say good enough, did he?
He says the people took of the spoil. Again, he said that. The sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. They took the sacrifice of the Lord. But I brought back the king. And Samuel said in the verse that you probably have heard many times, but not in this context. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying His voice? Behold, to obey is better than to make a sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion, which is exactly what not doing God's word faithfully is as witchcraft or divination. And stubbornness, Saul, is as iniquity or sin and idolatry. Don't listen to that because you're probably not stubborn before God. But it says stubbornness is a sin before God. I don't want to read any further. I've got to get down before God and say, Lord, I'm stubborn sometimes. I don't want to listen. I don't want to hear that. I need to repent. I keep holding back a little bit, saying, I've done the rest, but not this little thing over here. You know, and God said, do it all, or you'll never get freedom. You'll never get peace. You'll never get prosperity. You'll always allow something that will destroy you in. Because when we're stubborn before the Lord, we reject the word of the Lord. And as Saul did, he rejected you from being a king. And listen to what Saul says. I have sinned. I have sinned. And I justified it. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I sinned. I am the king and I failed. Twice he tried to blame it on the people. And now he says the truth. I did it. I'm the king. If they disobey my command, they die with the Amalekites. He has that authority. And he says, I pray you, please pardon me and turn me again that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel says, I'm sorry. God has somebody else in mind for the job. Now I want to share with you why this is important. If you turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 4, Paul, in that great instructional book, is going through a list of instructions, how to live out the Christian life, how to be strong, and how to live without giving any more problems in your life because of how you used to be as the old person. When you become a new creation in Christ, he says, here's how you do it. And he starts talking about Jesus and the things that we need to do. And he says, in verse 22, starting there in Ephesians 4, he says, put off concerning the former conversation your old man, which is corrupt. Your old self is corrupt according to what it lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here are the instructions. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, but sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And then he says it. Neither give place to the devil. He says other instructions, including don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And he continues into the fifth chapter. But that 27th verse, neither give place to the devil, is where I want us to look for just a moment. And hear carefully what Paul's saying, please. What he's saying is, if you say, like Saul did, I did everything God commanded me, but I left this little remnant right here. God told me never, for an example, never to chew on toothpicks again. Well, God, I've been completely faithful. I've never chewed on a wooden toothpick without vanilla or cinnamon flavor ever again. And God will say, that one thing which you allow gives the devil a foothold in your life. It gives all the things that you've been trying to fight and that Christ has saved you from entryway and place into your life. When God gives us instruction and we follow it to the letter, God brings His power to change our lives. When we allow something to remain that God has said no more, that which we allow to remain will destroy us. It will take from our joy. It will be a pestering wound that festers and bothers us until we finally bring it to God and say, I should have brought it to you in the first place. I sinned. I was wrong. I broke your commandment. You see, God, when He speaks to us, knows us. He knows what will destroy us, and He's trying to remove the things out of our life in our walk with Christ Jesus that would keep us from having a fully productive life. You cannot allow something that God's trying to remove for your blessing and say you can still get a blessing. God wants our obedience. He's trying to help you be better at being what He knows you can be. When He says, I want you to do this, He's going to increase you when you're obedient. At the time, it looks difficult. At the time, it looks like something you don't want to do. But if you're obedient faithfully, God will show you how that had a foothold in your life and was trying to destroy you. When you have removed it. But not until. And when God says to you, wipe out the enemy in your life, why let some of it in? That's the devil. I got the king. Lord, I wiped out all the sin in my life, but I'm keeping Satan. What? Lord, I killed everything except for these nice, fat, demonic, obviously sinful animals which are going to be brought into my home and defile me, and I'm going to sacrifice them to you. I sound stupid. What I can say with Saul when we do that, I sinned. I allowed place for things that won't benefit me, that will destroy me, and I justified it. Thank God He's merciful. And He's willing to forgive and start us over again as soon as we become obedient. Why? Because we have not yet been elevated to kingship. And until we begin to be obedient to the true King, He cannot elevate us to be princes and co-rulers either. But when you're faithful in a little, He'll give you a lot.